Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about why God loves or why God is for the bus ministry. Take your Bible, if you will, please, and turn to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5. Once you find Luke chapter 5, find verse number 1, and then stand with me, if you would, please. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. And I'm going to read a good handful of verses to you. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your net for the draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon, please. We've had a few extra things tonight, and Father, we do not want to shortchange the subject. So help my mind to work quickly. Help everyone to pay close attention. Help us to accomplish something eternal tonight during this time together. Holy Spirit of God, do a work, please. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. We're in the midst of a four-week revival. And as a part of that, we're being reminded of the old-time way and the things of God. And you go back in the history of America and other countries, there's a thing that we call the bus ministry. I'm going to talk about it for a little while tonight, but I'm going to start out and I'm going to show you a story here in the Bible. There's a group of people that stood by a lake. And in verse number 2, it tells us that there were two empty ships in port. Jesus gets in one of those ships and pushes out away from the shore, and he begins to preach to the people. After his sermon, Jesus says to Peter, let's go fishing. And Jesus says, now let down your nets. And Peter said, well, you know, we've already been fishing, but we're catching nothing. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do what you say. And let me tell you something, folks. If God tells you to do it, just do it. Don't wonder about it. And so they let out their nets, and suddenly they had a net full of fish. Matter of fact, so many fish, the net began to break. There was a second ship there, and they called out to that second ship, and they said, help us, come out here. We're catching so many fish, we don't know what to do with them all. They filled both ships so full, they began to sink. The Bible says then, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. But Peter was just amazed at the productivity. Now, let me stop here and tell you something. It was Jesus that said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it says, And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets to follow him. Understand something. When you see a fishing story in the New Testament, Jesus compared our looking for the souls of men to fishing. And that's because they were near the water and there were a lot of fishermen in that area, and that example made a lot of sense to them. Now understand, when you see that they were catching a lot of fish, in Jesus' mind, those were not just bass that they were catching. Those were not just gropey or grouper or whatever kind of a fish that was out there. I'll tell you what, they were catching fish, and he was picturing this image of people being reached. And so they go out. There's one ship. It begins to get filled up. They say, help us. We're catching so many, we don't know what to do. They send out another ship. Peter, the professional fisherman, he is astonished. He falls down in front of Jesus and says, my, I am sinful and you're so powerful. Then the Bible says that the others, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were amazed at this productivity that took place. Jesus ends up the conversation, if you're listening there, and he said, fellas, what I'm here to show you is from now on, I want you to catch men like that. I want you to catch men in the mass. I want you to get all the people that you can, and let's get them out of the sea of life, and let's get them born again. Let's get them saved. And then we go back to that verse in Matthew where Jesus had told them, I want you to become fishers of men. Oh, this is such an exciting story. In other words, they were using a vessel, and that vessel was catching fish in mass numbers. All right. So you say, what was Jesus teaching? Maybe Jesus there was teaching the boat ministry. The boat ministry. He said there's a way to catch people in a multitude at a time, if you will. Now, I have a friend who is a missionary in Africa, and when they gather people, there are little tributaries and rivers all over the place, and they actually run canoes and little motorboats up and down those little tributaries and pick up people. And they'll get a bunch of people on a boat, and they'll drag them back to the church service. So that's a boat ministry. You get on the mission field, and they use a jeep. They call it a jeepney. And they will get all sorts of people. They may not have a bus, but they'll get all sorts of people on a jeep. And I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of it, but I'll promise you the North Carolina Department of Transportation would not approve of that. You know, they'll get 60 or 70 people just hanging off of those jeeps so they can transport them back to church. I have a friend that they used camels for a particular meeting, and they had a cart, and a camel would pull a cart, and they called it the camel cart ministry. So you can have a boat ministry, you can have a jeepney ministry, you can have a camel cart ministry. D.L. Moody, you all know that D.L. Moody used to haul kids to church all over the great Chicagoland area. They had horse-drawn wagons, and they would take them up and down the streets and pick up boys and girls and people that need a ride, and then they would pull them back to church. Our fall program, you see a picture all the way at the top of the flyer. There's a picture of one of those old horse-drawn wagons full of people being brought to church. Now, we don't here at our church, we don't have our boat ministry or jeepney ministry or a camel cart ministry, but we do have our buses. We have a fleet of buses and vans that we run, and we have a bus ministry. I don't know. Maybe someday they're going to have a spaceship ministry. I'm not sure. They seem to, you know, we'll put that technology to use if we can to get people saved, but I love the bus ministry. I was 16 years of age when I got into church. I got saved. I got called to preach, and it was, but before I'd been in the church a whole year, I started working on a church bus route, and I had the privilege of going into my community and finding people that needed a ride to church and bringing them to church. Now, I want to talk about the bus ministry because I happen to believe it's a part of the old-time way. I've got to tell you something, folks. There were churches all over this country that believed in getting people saved, and they used to run buses, and it began to die out. It began to become a thing of the past. You say, well, why would they do that? Why at one point in their ministry would they go out and pick people up on buses and bring them in, and then they would stop? Well, part of it was the gasoline got a little expensive for some years, and people said, we can't afford to. My answer to that is, I didn't get into bus ministry because gas was cheap, so I'm not getting out because gas went up. I've always believed this, and I've been pastoring for years. I've said it from the pulpit. I'll turn the air conditioning off before I'll shut down the bus ministry. You say you would? Absolutely. I would rather be hot in church and be reaching people for Jesus than you and I be comfortable in church and let the world die and go to hell. It's just a part to me. It's a part of the old-time religion. We're supposed to be reaching people. And then people would start bus ministries, and then they would have people come in on their buses. And these are untrained people and people that don't know a lot about the Lord, so they could be hard on the property, and they could be hard on the pews, and hard on the paint job and everything at the church. And so some of the churches that were getting a little snooty in their behavior, sticking their nose in the air, they said, oh, well, if we bring people like that from that part of the community into the church, they soil the carpet a little here and there, and they don't pick up after themselves. And so they quit it. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Every last one of us started out lost, and we were a mess whether we want to face it or not, and everybody needs to be saved. And so this thing of, well, we stopped bringing people in the bus ministry because maybe they didn't have all the training that they needed, that's kind of silly to me. The very reason we're trying to get them saved and reach them and help them is so that they can get the training that they need. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why people have backed off in the bus ministry a lot, because they begin to let the government try to take care of that aspect of our country. And the truth is, God intended that the church reach out and reach people and help change their lives. But now we've got every social program under the sun, and the government has become the God that's trying to change lives, but they're not changing them for the God of the universe. They're really changing them for the God of the government. And we need to reach people, and the bus ministry is one of the ways that you get that done. Stay with me now. I'll be very practical for a few minutes, but I want to tell you why I think God loves the bus ministry. I want to tell you why I think the bus ministry is important. And the first thing I want to say is it's important because it's a soul-winning ministry. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So you know, our bus workers, they go out during the week, and we meet on Saturdays, but they go out all week long. But on Saturday specifically, they go out into the community, knocking on doors, meeting people, and winning people to Jesus Christ. They win people to Christ at that person's house. Then there are kids and adults that will get on the bus, and you'll watch a bus worker go sit down right by them on the bus and win them to Jesus Christ. Then the kids that didn't get saved at their house or didn't get saved on the bus, maybe on the way into church, they'll go to one of our children's churches, primary church or junior church, and you know what will happen? The gospel will be presented, and they'll get saved. You know, there were 19 people saved this morning here at our church. You watched them walk the aisle. Now, not all of them came in on a bus, but a lot of them were influenced by the bus ministry. So we've gone into a neighborhood, maybe where, not everybody there is poor or poverty stricken, but we go into neighborhoods and we provide transportation and we bring people to church, and people are getting saved. And I have to tell you, you say, well, but Pastor, boy, it costs a lot of money to run those buses. Well, maybe so. We put gas in them and we maintain them, but I'll tell you something, one little boy or one little girl getting saved and not dying and going to hell is worth everything that we put into our bus ministry. We're not trying to build a big bank account with a portfolio full of all sorts of opportunity and security for our future. We're trying to get security for the lives of people. There's a heaven and there's a hell, and we're going to reach those people. People say, well, I wish we could do something for our community. You know, if every church would get concerned again about the souls of men, we could turn this country upside down for Jesus Christ. And so, the bus ministry, I think God loves the bus ministry because it's a soul-winning ministry. Secondly, I think it is not only a soul-winning ministry, I think it can be a mass soul-winning ministry. It reaches the multitudes. When our captains and our workers go out, they don't just bring one person back in on the bus. They bring in many, many people on the bus. I loved what happened on that ship. When Jesus was illustrating, I'm going to make you fishers of men, they went out and they filled a ship with fish. And we, the human race, were the fish. And then they caught so many, they said, we're catching so many, we needed another one. And then they filled both of their ships up to the point that they were almost ready to sink. That almost sounds like the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. We filled the auditorium. You say, we're so full, what are we going to do? We'll get another auditorium. Now we got that one full. We're going to sink, preacher. Isn't it great? Isn't it great that we're reaching people? And Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. And that illustration that he gave, I'll promise you, folks, through the years here, especially in the United States of America, there have been thousands upon thousands of people saved, masses of people, because of using transportation where you could bring them in large quantities. Someone said the average church bus route in America used to be 48. I think it's far less than that today. And that's because it's just not promoted much anymore. Well, here at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, we're for reaching out to the poor people. We're for the bus ministry. So I think Jesus loves it. I think God is for it because it's a soul-winning ministry. But not only that, secondly, it's a mass soul-winning ministry. Then thirdly, I think that the bus ministry helps us to fulfill the Bible command to reach and to love the poor. Now, I've already said this. Not everybody that rides in on one of our buses is necessarily poor. Sometimes it's just a convenient way for them to ride. And there are some people that are not poor that ride the bus because they just enjoy being a part of what's happening in the bus ministry. But I will tell you this, we do reach out and we go into neighborhoods where there is more poverty. And folks, let me tell you something. The day that our church begins to reject the poor, I believe God's going to be very unhappy about that. Very unhappy. You know, there are people out there in our community, there are boys and girls growing up in homes where they never hear someone say, "I love you." They never hear about the love of God, and they've got to hear that. You young people that grow up in a home where mom and dad tell you that they love you, you ought to cherish that and you ought to thank God for that. But you know, I want to go into the community and I want to find boys and girls that are growing up in situations that are rough. Some of them don't know who dad is and some of them don't get to live with mom or dad, and maybe they're being reared by a grandparent or who knows what the situation, but they don't get much love. You know what I want us to do? I want us to run buses into those areas and pick those boys and girls up and bring them to church, and I want them to hear that Jesus loves them. I want them to hear a Sunday school teacher say, "I love you, and I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad you came to our church, and you're welcome, and you're wanted here." I almost can't take it on Sunday mornings. I'll walk by some of the classes, and the teachers very graciously will give them some food in the morning. They may have some Pop-Tarts or some bacon or something like that. And those of you that make that bacon every Sunday morning, you're killing the rest of us. It smells so good. But boy, I'll walk up and down the hallways and I'll watch those kids come in off the bus routes and they run to their classrooms. And some of you might not understand it, but there are kids that are coming in on some of those routes when they come in to get that breakfast. That's a big deal to them. That's food like they don't get. And I tell you, that moves my heart. I just thank God for it. I believe we have a chance to help and reach that people that would live in poverty. You say, "But Pastor, sometimes they mess things up and they don't put things away and they go in the restrooms and they're in disarray and they're not as clean." Hey, nobody goes to the restroom and it's cleaner after you've been there. And I'll tell you, rich churches get too arrogant to reach people like that. I never want to be like that. I never want to be like that. I'm not trying to run rich people off. We don't have any. But I'm not trying to run the rich people off. But I am going to tell you this. If you ever said to me, "Preacher, it's either you stop bringing the bus kids or I'm going to stop coming," I'm going to tell you this. We're going to miss you. We'll miss you. But I want to keep reaching those type people. I want them to know. I believe this. I believe if Jesus were pastoring a church, he would run a bus ministry and he would be reaching out to the people that are a little less fortunate. So I think God loves the bus ministry because it's a soul winning ministry and it's a way to reach out to the masses of people. I think it's a way for us to keep that Bible command of loving and helping the poor. And I tell you this also, the bus ministry really, it's another chance to teach and preach the Bible. We use the bus ride time. They don't just sit there and stare at each other. Those buses and those vans, they're rolling classrooms. While the kids are on those bus routes, you know, they're being taught the Bible. We have bus captains. They'll stand up and they'll preach on the bus and the kids will hear it. And hey, and what they're singing, the Bible, that's the book for me. There's a program that goes on and they're being taught obedience. And so it's not just we all get on the bus and it's every man for himself and do what you want. If you've never seen on our bus routes, they get on the bus and they're singing and there's teaching and there's preaching and there's instruction going on. They get to hear the scripture and the kids are taught memory verses. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, 7, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, those buses are used to promote and to teach and to preach the word of God. They have Bible drills on the bus. You say, what's that for? That teaches them how to use their Bible, how to quickly find the different books of the Bible. You say, oh, that's so much fun. It may be fun, but we are teaching a group of young people how to use their Bible, and we're preaching to them, and we're growing them. So I really think the bus ministry is another opportunity to teach and to preach the Word of God. Not only that, I think God is, I think He cherishes the bus ministry, and I think He's extra fond of it because it's a follow-up ministry. You know, we're to get people saved, and then after they get saved, they're to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and after that, they yoke up with the church, and then we want them to grow in the Lord. Did you know that we visit the new converts? Kids get saved here at our church, and do you realize we immediately go to work on them, and they're visited the next week, and we try to get them right back in Sunday school and right back in church. Hey, it's a follow-up ministry. A lot of people will go out soul winning and win someone to Christ, but you never see them again. You never knock on their door again. You never visit them again. But I'll guarantee you, we've got a troop of bus workers that go out, they knock on a door on Saturday, get somebody saved on Saturday or Sunday, and the very next week they're knocking on that very same door saying, you got saved, now you need to get into church. That's called follow-up. That's called the discipling of the people. And so we disciple them. You know, there's a lot of things that people need. You get saved, you need to start changing your life. So we provide them with, we provide them with good music. They were listening to the world's music, and now they come on the bus. And on the bus, we don't sing the world's music on the bus. We sing songs about Jesus, about God, and about church. And then they get visited week after week after week. Hey, on the bus, they're taught to have a good Christian attitude. Bus routes, they get up and sing, I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. Jesus took my burdens all away. You know what we're teaching them? Attitude. How to have a good attitude. How to have a right spirit. We not only try to get them saved, then we start teaching them about baptism. We have a goal that they get saved, get baptized, join the church, stay in the church, clean up their lives, and someday they're bus captains and Sunday school teachers and deacons. And so I think that the bus ministry is a very good way to be obedient to following up and discipling people that get saved. And not only that, I think our bus ministry, I think it actually, it probably helps our reputation in our community. I believe that. I think people in our community see that we care. I'm excited. You know, I told the men at the men's prayer meeting, we're getting real close to being able to start the process on getting our buses painted. And we're going to get them all dolled up, and they're going to be very, very beautiful. And when they run up and down the streets, it's a testimony. And to me, I'd like them to look very attractive and very, very, very first class. And I want people to, I'm not ashamed of running those buses all over our county. I'm not ashamed of that at all. And I want people to know we're reaching out to them. And they become like a rolling billboard. And I want people to know we care about those people, and I believe it really helps your reputation in the community. It's free transportation. And did you know the public school doesn't do that, but we do that for Sunday school? You say, well, the public school, they provide bus transportation. It's not free. If you think it's free, you need to double check your taxes. Now, here at the church, we're going to run those buses, and it's not those kids that we're picking up, it's not costing them a thing. And we want them to have that. We want them to have that transportation. So we go out and we visit the community and we love the poor. And I really believe there are people all over our county that have been affected by our bus ministry. I mean, our folks walk up and down the streets and knock on doors, and they're good to people and they help people and they're kind to people. I think, again, it's an outreach and it's something that helps the church. And so now we're helping the community, but it helps the church. And I think God likes that. I think God wants us to love our community. I think He wants us to reach out to the community. So it's a soul-winning ministry. It's a mass soul-winning ministry. It's a chance to love the poor. It's a chance to preach and teach the Bible. It's a follow-up ministry. And it's a way that our church can connect with the community, and the community can see us doing the work of God, and they benefit from it. But not only that, I think this, those of you that are in the bus ministry, I think the bus ministry could remind you of what your situation could be. What your situation could be. You go and visit a home, And again, you know, we've got a lot of people that are just middle-class folk that get to go to, that they come to church on a bus. But well, we go to some places that are pretty rough. We go out and visit some places where maybe it's a poor home. And I'm not trying to be unkind, but dirty. They don't have much. I mean, there's not much discipline. And when you take a young person that's growing up in the average home, the people that are here tonight, and they go visit, and they see how bad somebody else has it, sure can make you appreciate what you have at home. It can help you to see where you could be if it were not maybe for the grace of God or God being merciful in your life. Helping people who don't have helps you to appreciate what you do have. I had a parent come to me and said, you know what? I said, my teenager is so ungrateful, not thankful for anything, Pastor. What should I do? I said, let's put him on a bus route. Let's let him go out and see some people that don't have. Let's let them go see what it's like to live in that kind of poverty, and maybe they'll grow some appreciation for what they do have. So I think the bus ministry, it even grows people, the workers, and it helps them to be grateful and thankful for what they have. Then I think the bus ministry helps our workers to get their eyes off themselves. You know, too many people spend all their time caring for themselves, spoil themselves. The weekend's all about you. But I've got news for you. There are other people out there that need help. And I am so proud of our bus workers. I thank God for them. Boy, they meet every Saturday and they give up hours in their day to go and visit and help people and feed people and win people to Christ and encourage them. I'll tell you, it's been a long time since I've met a bus worker that's faithful to the bus ministry that's self-centered and stingy. They're willing to give up a bunch of time. I don't know if the whole church recognizes it, but they'll come in at 10 o'clock Saturday morning and sometimes visit till 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, come back in at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning, pick up all their bus riders, come to church, take everybody home, and not get home till 1:30, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. You're talking about somebody that cares about somebody other than themselves, and it's a big deal. And I thank God for that. I think the bus ministry helps us not to be stingy and self-centered and self-absorbed. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think this also. I think the bus ministry builds leadership in the church. I think it builds leadership in the church. Bus captains are they're leading people, and God is using them and grooming them. Bus captain and leaders in the bus ministry, learning to love and learning to give and learning to organize, learning to solve people problems and learning to sacrifice and build people and care and live by schedule and learning how to grow people, learning how to fight the devil's discouragements. I was a 16-year-old boy, and really the very first ministry that I got involved in, I got called to preach. I was 16. I got involved in the bus ministry. I would not trade that for anything in the world. I've got five college degrees. Five. I would, if someone said to me, which would you prefer, your training from the bus ministry or 5 degrees, I'd take my training in the bus ministry in a flash, just like that. It trained me. It taught me how to reach little ones and older ones and single ones and married ones and red ones and white ones and yellow ones and black ones and educated and uneducated. It taught me to go to middle class, upper class, lower class, in every part of society. It taught me how to get someone saved, taught me how to get somebody baptized, taught me how to get somebody in the church, taught me how to follow up on people. I would not give up my training in the bus ministry for all my other college degrees. I learned something. It changed my life. And I never want to forget about it. I think the bus ministry builds leadership in people. Not only that, I think the bus ministry builds fellowship in people. You know, people need to learn how to follow. And the bus ministry, there's a lot of instructions given. Obedience is taught in the bus ministry. Now, you know, when the workers are on the bus, the boys and girls are being taught when to be quiet, when to stand up, when to sit down, when to be loud, when to be soft. Do you know that all the time that's happening, our young people are a part of that, and they're learning how to respond and how to obey? I think the bus ministry is a great time to learn fellowship. I think the bus ministry is a great time to learn leadership. But I also think the bus ministry is a wonderful place for people to serve. It makes a lot of opportunity for people to serve in the church. That's because we have workers and we have drivers and we have captains. right now we have 4 Sunday morning routes. We run 2 vans on Sunday night and 2 vans on Wednesday night. There are a lot of people involved in that. Yesterday morning when we started our bus meeting, every row, every chair in the bus meeting was filled with people that were going out visiting and trying to reach people. Now, there's all levels of opportunity to serve in the bus ministry. And so it's a great, great place to serve the Lord. Now, I'm going to wind down here in a second, but I do want to tell you this. I think, now, our bus ministry, not just anybody can join it. You got to be a member of our church, and you'll find out 9 out of 10 things around here, you need to be a member of the church if you're going to participate. That's just the right way of doing it. But you get, if you've been saved and baptized and you're a member of the church, and we let people become a worker in the bus ministry if they're 6th grade and above. And then there's a process. Ladies, you'll have to dress right, and men, you have to keep your hair cut, and you can't go out getting drunk and getting high and partying and all that sort of stuff. There's some expectation. That's because you're a role model. But you get in that bus ministry and it'll change your life. You say, I want to go help all those people. I'll promise you, it'll change you more than you'll change them. The bus ministry is a life-changing ministry. It helps people. You say, Pastor, it seemed like if a church wants to do well financially, how much money do these bus people bring into the church? Oh, well, none. Maybe they learn to tithe, maybe they don't. We don't do it to see what we can get out of them. We do it to see what we can put in them. But I learned something a long time ago. If you will invest in that which God cares about, He'll finance it. He'll finance it. And so what happens? I've been amazed through the years. We just keep reaching poor people, and God keeps on providing the money for those poor people to be reached. Now, there are some churches that say, well, we don't want to waste our money on that. You're really messing yourself up financially thinking that way. Because I would rather have God's blessing and financial support than to have a few extra bucks in the bank that I consider my security, and therefore I don't run a bus ministry because I'm afraid of the financial aspect of it. God blesses a church that will reach out. God blesses a church that will reach the poor. You know that God holds in His hand the purse strings to whoever or whatever out there. I believe this also. I think successful spiritual people like to invest and see productivity for their money. You know, it's one thing to give some money and maybe they name a building after you somewhere, but you know that building will rot and deteriorate someday. But if somebody gives their money to a church where there are people being saved, that's eternal. It's eternal. And I don't like to compare the church to a business, but I'll tell you this. If it were a business, we're in the biggest business in the world. It's the most important business in the world. And there are actually people out there that love seeing people get saved because they know that they get credit for that in heaven. And so they invest in a church that's reaching people like that because they know it's a good investment. And it is a good investment. Someone said to me, they said, well, Pastor, do we do that to get a big attendance? No, I'd try to reach the poor if it didn't increase your attendance. You say, why? It's the right thing to do. It's like soul winning. People say, well, we're a soul winning church. Is that what builds the church? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But even if soul winning did not build the church, we would still go soul winning because the Bible commands us to win souls. And maybe reaching people on a bus increases the church attendance. But even if it didn't, it wouldn't matter to me because it's the right thing to do. It's right to go into the community and try to reach those people. But here's the thing. I think it does build the church, and I think God does bless it, and I think that it does prosper us. But my experience is the bus ministry does more for us than it even really does for some of the people we're trying to reach. When I was looking at it, I seen this story about the two ships, and they were just overloaded with fish. And I love to hear what Jesus, he said to them. He tells them, he said, now, I just showed you how to go do it. Now I want you to go catch fish. men like we just caught those fish. And that's what he told them. Well, what had they done? They got them one boat, went out and filled that boat. Got so many on that boat, they had to go get them another boat. Got so many on that boat, they said, we're going to sink. We need help. Peter, he was so amazed, he said, I can't believe this. Look at all of this. Jesus right away said, that's what I want you to do, Peter. Do you think Peter learned anything from that? If I remember correctly, there's this day called Day of Pentecost. I'm going to guess that somehow Peter drew a net on Pentecost with 3,000 people because he learned how to draw a net on a boat route. Can you imagine walking up to Peter had he not ever seen the experience of the two ships being overfilled and God saying, I want you to have 3,000 saved today? Peter might say, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that done. But when the Lord used Peter to reach 3,000 on Pentecost, Peter was already trying to reach the masses. He'd already watched the boat ministry succeed to the point where the boats were about to sink. And I think when God said to Peter, said, Peter, I want you to have a big day on Pentecost, Peter said, all right, I know what this is like. I've watched this done before. I remember when you challenged me to fill the boat, and we filled the boat, and then we got another boat, and we filled the boat. We were about to sink. And I'm going to guess the day of Pentecost was a result of Peter realizing we've got to reach everybody we can. Reach everybody we can. Even if we think we're going to sink the ship. Let's reach them all. I think Pentecost was a result of the mass lesson that Jesus taught him that day on the boat. That's what I think. The bus ministry. If you're not a part of it, I wish you'd pray for it. And if you're not for it, you'll be miserable around here. Because I believe in reaching people. And I want to reach all the people that we can. You say, Pastor, what's your goal? My goal is to reach everybody. Just everybody. That's our goal. And pray for the bus ministry. And those of you that are workers in the bus ministry, the captains, the drivers, the mechanics, everybody, thank you. Thank you for your hard work. To everybody, thank you. I believe in the bus ministry. I think God believes in the bus ministry. As a part of our revival for these 4 weeks, I just want to take a night and I want to say thank God for the bus ministry and reaching people that maybe would not be reached otherwise. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you'll come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. We'd be pleased for you to get saved. You come, we'll show you how to be saved. There's some of you used to be a worker in the bus ministry, but you're not anymore. I wish you'd get yourself, maybe work it out where you could get back involved. Now, I have to tell you, you don't just join the bus ministry. There are requirements. There's a little interview process that you have to go through. But it's worth it. You know, some of you ought to change your life. You ought to change your life enough that you could be used as a worker. But what a wonderful opportunity. I'm going to have an altar call. I wish that maybe some of you would pray for the bus ministry. I wish that some of you would even give consideration. Maybe change your life enough that you would pass that interview to where you could be an official worker in the bus ministry. I wish you would. Some of you that used to be involved and you're not anymore, I wish you'd decide to try to get involved. We need to reach people. There's some of you, there might be somebody in here, you say, you know what, I need to, that makes sense. I need to invest myself in something. Maybe my funds. I need to invest some money in something that's eternal. Boy, wow. Bus ministry is a great place to invest yourself, invest your money, because it's eternal. We see lots of people saved. Who here would say, God's spoken to my heart tonight. I've been challenged. And the bus ministry, I've learned something, and God's challenged me. And you'll let God see your hand and put your hand up. And then you can put your hand down. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Bus captains, bus drivers, bus workers, thank God for you. Thank you so much. Thanks for your hard work. Keeping people out of hell, changing lives, going and visiting the underprivileged. The sermon tonight, part of it is to promote and to just train us and teach us about the bus ministry. Part of it is to praise the bus workers. It's a soul winning ministry. It's a follow up ministry. It's a ministry that helps us to reach the poor and to preach and to teach the Bible and to help the community to see our good works. It reminds us of where we could be and helps us to be more grateful for what we have. It keeps us from being self-centered, builds leaders and followers in the church, gives a lot of people a chance to serve the Lord. And actually, bus ministry can cause someone to clean up their life. They say, I want to be a role model. I want to be a leader in that bus ministry. Well, then you'll need to change your life enough to where you're usable in that aspect. It gives you a good place to put your money where it's a eternal thing. One more time through the song, Rachel. We'll pray and we'll be on our way. Pray for our bus ministry. I don't think everybody can join the bus ministry. I'm not asking you to. Pray for our captains. Pray for our workers. Pray for the revival as we continue to try to reach people. Pray for our buses. Pray for the painting of our buses. We're soon to launch that project and just pray that it turns out right. We're a few dollars short. If we go through the process of painting like we think we're going to, we'll need just a few more dollars to get over the top on it. But I think God has something wonderful for us. And thank you. I don't know how many people have been reached through the bus ministry in the United States of America. It may be that in eternity it will have been the greatest soul-winning tool in the United States of America once we get to heaven. It may be that it will be the thing that God would say that, you know, and I'm not leaving out the local New Testament church, obviously that, but I'm saying a bus route ran out of a local New Testament church here in this country has reached millions of people, and it's just the tool that I think we want to be a part of. And if everybody else, you say, well, preacher, everybody else is closing their bus ministries down. We don't do what everybody else does. We're sticking with the old time way. And it still works.